as you know, we began a series of sermons last week called Frequently Asked Questions, or FAQ. And so what we did was not so much asking from the pew frequently asked questions, because those questions would be like this. Why is it too hot in the sanctuary? It's too cold in the sanctuary. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? So what we wanted to do was take kind of a more theological stance on questions. And so we're kind of diving into this. And let me just say this. It only gets better as we go with these questions. And so I want you to be praying as we continue to just dive into God's Word. Today we're going to be in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We kind of kicked off this series in a non-traditional way 2 weeks ago when we talked about is homosexuality a sin or not, and God has really been using that message and some others, and I've heard a great deal from many of you on that message, and I appreciate the prayers, and I really, really do. You guys have been incredible, and I love you, man. I bragged so much on you this past week at the Southern Baptist Convention, and just really look forward to getting back and being with you. Let me read this quote to you before we stand and read God's Word. So the title of today's message is, Does the Bible Matter Today? I want to welcome 1031 as they are joining us. I want you to listen to what Dr. Adrian Rogers said, who is with Jesus now. It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. Let me tell you something, friend. It is not love and it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It is impossible to find anyone in the Bible who is a power for God who did not have enemies and was not hated. It is better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. It is better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. There is only one gospel, and Paul said, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow. Wow. The gospel of Jesus and the powerful Word of God. I was reading the Barna Research Group. They've come up with this series, this website, and it's called... Oh my goodness, my mind just went blank. That's not what it's called. But it's, I told Brian, I had it footnoted, but took it. So anyway, what they do is they take the Bible and they kind of do a survey of how people related to the Bible throughout the year. They started back around in 2007. And in that text, I'll get that for you. If you email me, I'll let you know that. But they talked about the boomers, the elders. Boomers are 49 to 67, elders 68 plus, and then the millennials 18 to 29. Now, I want you to listen to what they said. Boomers and elders are more likely to regard the Bible as sacred. Millennials age 18 to 29 are the least likely generation to regard the Bible as sacred literature. 18 to 29. I want you to just let that sink in for a moment. That means that our next generation, the people who are coming along behind my generation, they are the least likely generation to think that the Word of God, number one, is inspired. That means God breathed it. It's without error. It's infallible. And so here's what they do. Listen to me. Hear me, dear friends. And I wonder if one of the reasons they think that way is because they've looked to the older generations and they've seen a different walk on Monday through Saturday than they did on Sunday. This generation that is coming along is saying, Don't tell me what you believe. Show me what you believe. And so here's my deal. Now, I'm not making excuses for that generation. I love that generation. Love them with all my heart. One of the reasons that we're moving to 11:30 worship hour when we go in August is that 11:30 worship hour. I've talked to many people who say that a lot of the millennials in that age group are, they're sleeping later, and so maybe they'll come to an 11:30 hour, and we're going to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus. And that means some of us may have to give up our comfort time of when we eat lunch. I'd rather go without a physical meal than allow somebody to go without a spiritual one. Millennials are more likely than average to say they do not consider any book sacred or holy, or are unable to name a book that is sacred or holy. Matter of fact, this age group even said they put the Quran and the Book of Mormon on the same level as the Word of God. Say, Pastor, where are you going with that? Brian McLaren said, too often we see the Bible through whatever lens we get from our culture. We see the Bible through whatever lens we get from the world around us, from the culture around us. And I'm telling you right now, the culture around us is telling us, listen to me, don't you believe that book? Don't you believe that book? But I'm telling you, there are more people being saved right now than in the history than ever before in the history of mankind. Do you understand that today alone there will be more people saved, not necessarily in America, but there will be more people saved today than in any other period of history in the history of the world? Why? Because there are faithful men and women standing and teaching the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No person will ever enter into a relationship with Jesus apart from the wonderful, powerful, living Word of God. Does the Bible matter today? Yes, it matters today. Yes, it matters today. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God will remain forever. There's never been a book like it in history. It's outsold more books than any other book in history, selling at a rate of over 30 million books. Copies a year. It is currently being translated into 600 different languages. There's still half the world's languages, though, still haven't had a copy of the Word of God. So that's why we're going to do everything we can to get them the Word of God. 93% of all Americans own a Bible. The average American home has over four Bibles. But listen to this, only 11% of Americans read the Bible every single day, and 50% never read it at all. I'm not fussing at you. I just want you to say. You say, why are you including all Americans? Not trying to be unfair there. I want you to listen to this. When you look at only those who claim to be born again, 18% say they read it every single day, 23% never read it, and 57% of all adults who do read their Bible only read it when they come to church. Now understand, I'm not talking about today. We have more access to the Bible than ever before. Smartphones, tablets, whatever you want, are physical. I still preach. I said, I feel so old sometimes. You know, I mean, we were at the pastor's conference this past week, and every person that got up there had their iPad. Pastor Hosey, man, he was preaching from his iPad. Here I am still preaching. I'm still abusing trees. I need to be a better environmentalist, right? But that's just my niche. But here's what I'm telling you. You know, some people say, I get offended. I know a pastor right now in Maine who got fired because he stood and he preached from the Bible, but it was on his iPad. And they said, you're not preaching from the real Bible. And I'm thinking, Jesus didn't have a Bible like this. The Word of God, whether it's on an iPad or whether it's in the confines of a leather binding, it's still the Word of God. The person who doesn't read his Bible has no advantage over the person who has no Bible. The person who doesn't read his Bible has no advantage over the person who has no Bible. And so here's what I want to do. If the Bible matters today, if it matters today, and we think it does, I want to show you how we as a body of believers, because here's the deal, if we don't get this part right, it doesn't matter if the Bible matters. It does not matter, because we've got to understand what the Bible means to us and then live it throughout the week, live it through every day. So James chapter 1, please stand in honor of reading God's word. We're going to read verses 19 through 25. James 1 verses 19 through 25. I want you to listen to what it says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, here's the key word to this entire sermon, and continues in it. There it is right there. Continues in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one, listen to this. Oh, we all want to be blessed, and not just after we sneeze. Listen to this. If you continue in it, this one will be blessed in what he does. Heavenly Father, please speak mightily. Oh God, may I decrease, may you increase. Speak from the word of God. Lord, let it speak to our hearts. And God, may it change our lives this morning. Jesus, we lift you up. Draw all men into you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so here's what we're going to do. How do we make sure that the Bible is that which blesses us and not dust that chokes us? Because I don't know about you, but if I were to sit down with Asher right now, who is three, about to be 4 years old, if I were to give him steak and I didn't cut it up in small bites where he can really chew it, he's gonna choke on it. Well, some of us are further along than others in our walk with Christ. You can take the Bible and you can read it in big chunks. You can get into the deep things of God. You can understand it and you can walk on and be blessed through it. Others of us are maybe in the infant stages of our walk with Christ, and we're still sitting there thinking, man, is it pronounced Job or Job, you know? What are we? What are we talking about? And so what I want to do is I want to show us as believers, if the Bible matters today, how do we approach His Word, okay? How do we approach His Word? Number one, we must properly approach the Word of God. You must properly approach the Word of God. You see, you can read your Bible. You can have reverence for your Bible. I knew a guy right now that taught me at my home church in youth, and he never allowed any book to be over the Bible. So like if he was carrying his sermon notebook or if he was carrying another book, the Bible, no matter if his Bible was this big and some was that big, he always put it over it because he said, I have respect and reverence for the Bible. Hey, can I just say this? I want y'all to listen to me. Please don't think I'm being disrespectful here or a heretic. But I believe that God is more concerned on what you do with the Word of God that He places in your heart than the Word of God that you place on the dashboard of your truck. You can respect this thing all day long, but can I tell you something? You can respect it, but nothing matters if you don't obey it. You've got to obey. You know what I haven't done lately? I haven't told you how much I love you. I do love you. My heart's just full with you because I'm telling you, dear friends, with everything that is happening today, we better know how to come to the Word of God. So James tells us there are four stages in properly approaching the Word of God. We're going to just run through them. Number one, there's contemplation. Contemplation. So here's what he says in verse 23. This is what he says again. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man that is observing himself, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now this describes here the first stage of Bible reading. Well, here's what he does. James is saying this guy is a man that just skims through the Bible. It's superficial. He superficially reads the Bible and he forgets everything and he goes about his business as if he never even read it. It would be like a man or a woman who looks into a mirror, sees there's dirt, sees he needs to shave, sees the woman needs to comb her hair. But here's what they do. They know they need to do something, but they walk away, get dressed, and leave as if they never even saw what needed to be fixed. Now, don't miss this. James compares the Bible to a mirror. A mirror has three characteristics. Mirrors don't lie. Mirrors don't play favorites. And mirrors don't worry about feelings. You see, a picture, you can edit out stuff in pictures. You can't edit a mirror. Oh, you know, I don't like that. My sister, when my mama died, my sister took a picture of all my me and my brother and my sisters and my mama. And there was a comment that was made on this picture. And it was on somebody that said, man, they have lost a lot of weight. And then I looked at the original one and I was like. And so they had some kind of app that they were able to slim down everybody. You know what I mean? And so, but let me tell you something. That picture was not reality. But a mirror, listen to me, a mirror will not lie. It will not lie. And so here's what I want you, it's kind of like a man. He was 19th century living up in the mountains of West Virginia, and he had never seen a mirror or anything. And so he's digging through something. He finds this mirror, and when he looks at it, he goes, oh, my goodness, there's my dad. He says, I had no idea my daddy took this picture. And so he just stepped and looked at it. Well, his wife had always thought that he had cheated on her. She always thought that he was being unfaithful. So after he laid it down and went on to work, she went and got that mirror, and she said, oh, that's the old hag he's been chasing. So, All right, is everybody with me now? All right, let's move on. All right, so watch this. Listen, here's what's unreal. Here's what's incredible. Hey, it's Father's Day. We get grace on Father's Day, right? All right. I love you. All right, so listen to this. When a man looks in the mirror, here's what he does. He sees the need to be cleaned up. And so here's what he'll do. Because as a matter of fact, that's what a lot of people don't like about the Bible is when they're reading the Bible, they see things that they need to change in their life, but they put it down and they close it and they walk away as if they never even saw it to begin with. That's why James is saying it is a mirror. Listen to what one man said. When you read God's word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it is talking to me and it is talking about me. Don't miss that. When you read the Bible, constantly have this thought going through your mind. It is talking to me and it is talking about me. Contemplation. Number two, concentration. Verse 24 says he's observing himself. That means a casual glance. Verse 25 says who looks into the perfect law of liberty. The word there, look into, means a careful gaze. A careful gaze. It means to fix your attention upon something. Like to really look at something so you just don't glance at it. You really fix your attention to it. You remember in John chapter 20 when the Bible talks about Peter going to the tomb? And I love it. John 20, I think verses 4 through 8. John goes to the tomb and he just kind of looks into it and then he doesn't go in. Peter, he not only comes to the tomb, he goes into the tomb. And what does John then write in the rest? He talks about all the different things that were found in the tomb. Why? Because Peter, listen to this. Peter just didn't do this right here. Oh, it's empty. Let's go. So Peter came and he looked and he went into the tomb and he carefully investigated it. That's what James is saying we ought to do with the Word of God. Don't just glance at it, man. Carefully get into the Word of God. If you're going to get out of the Bible what you're going to get out of the Bible, and if the Bible is going to get in you what it must get into you, you've got to concentrate your attention on the book like a watchmaker does on building a watch. Meditate upon the Word of God, man. Meditate upon the Word of God. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about to meditate, do you know what it means? I know y'all know. It's the old farmer's term, chewing the cud. What them old cows would do is they'd get them a bite of grass and chew it and swallow it and then regurgitate it back up and chew it some more. Y'all ready to go eat? Hey, guys, You know, people say, well, I'll tell you what, son, when I'm going to witness to somebody, Spirit's just going to give me the words to say. He will only give you the words to say that which you have hidden in your heart. You got to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God's got to get into you. If the Bible's going to matter today, they got to see the Bible in shoe leather. They've got to see it being lived out every single day in our lives. Then there's, somebody said this, reading the Bible without meditating on it is like trying to eat without swallowing. Continuation, verse 22, listen to what he says. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I mean, in other words, the more you read it, the more you will understand it. I mean, verse 25, I'm sorry, says, continue to look into it. The more you read it, the more you will understand it and the more you will enjoy it. So continue into it. There's some of you in this book. I'll never forget. As one of my deacons at my church at First Baptist Tupelo, he had major heart surgery. And I was talking with him one day, and I was at their house. And I was sitting on their couch, and I was looking at their coffee table. And down on their coffee table was about six or seven Bibles. But then over there where he was sitting was a copy. Now listen, this man was 82 years old. 82 years old. He had a copy of the book of Radical by David Platt, which will mess you up. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. And then he had his Bible. And his Bible was worn and just, I mean, tattered and everything. Somebody once said that a Bible that is messed up on the covers symbolizes a life that is not. Some people, boy, they open the Bible and dust flies out of it. Then there's how you consume it, consummation. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Here's what I wish. I wish we had more sermons being lived out than we do being listened to. Let me say that again. I wish we had more sermons that were being lived out than we do being listened to. In other words, when people see us, they see the Word of God. People come up to me occasionally, they'll say something like this, boy, you stepped all over my toes. I like what one preacher said. Somebody said he came up to him, they said, you stepped all over my toes. He said, well, not enough evidently to make you start dancing. And not only that, we're not aiming for toes anyway. We're aiming for hearts. Peter Lord said this, what we believe, we live. The rest is just religious talk. Watchman Nee, the great Chinese Christian, said this, all knowledge is the outgrowth of obedience. All knowledge is the outgrowth of obedience. Everything else is just information. In other words, here's what he means. You can believe the truths that are taught in the Bible, but they will remain just information. They will remain just information if you don't obey it. That's why it bothers me, and I kind of get a little concerned sometimes by the lack of urgency for evangelism. Do you know every single part of our vision statement and our mission statement that we presented to you a few weeks back about making Christ-centered disciples amongst all nations, how are we going to do that? By reducing lostness in Springfield. Do you know that was carefully and prayerfully thought over? You know why we want to start? I'm telling you, we want to start here. Listen to me, dear friends. I was riding, Lenore and I flew out beside Dick Hardy. Many of you know Dick Hardy. And we were riding beside Dick, and Dick and I were sitting there talking, and he has the Hardy Group, and we were sitting there talking, and here's one thing he made a statement of. He made this statement. He said, you know what I was told? I was told that a lot of the powers to be in Springfield, it's not that they don't give us, it's not that they're mad at the church or the Christian community to give us a voice. He said this, he said, I was told they just don't even consider us. They don't even think about us. He said, what do you mean? He said, there was a man that was very powerful in our city. They were considering to make these big changes. And one of the men said, well, don't you think we ought to talk to Pastor John Lindell, pastor at James River Church? Now listen, here's what Dick Hardy said. He said, not that Pastor John Lindell was the Pope of Springfield or the most important man. He said, but you know, he pastors the largest church in the Springfield area. And he said, I just figured that we ought to at least get the Christian mindset. And this political leader said this. Who is that? You don't go to heaven by knowing who John Lindell is. You go to heaven by knowing Jesus is. But I'm telling you what, if you live in this area, I think he's been there, what, 30 years? If you don't know James River or the Pastor John Lindell, I mean, is your head in the sand? So you say, what are you getting at, Pastor? Here's what I'm getting at, dear friends. Here's what I'm getting at. Our city is lost as it can be. It doesn't matter how many we average in worship. It doesn't matter what we're doing. If we're not in our city, if you are a political figure in here, use the platform that God has given you to take a stand. If you are a school teacher, whatever, use the platform in whatever job you have. Take a stand for Jesus, man. Shine your light. Spread the word of God everywhere you go. Why? Because they won't get saved by living. Listen to me. They won't get saved by knowing who Ridgecrest is, but they will by Ridgecrest letting them know who Jesus is. And we got to take a stand. Number two, properly approach the Word of God, but then prayerfully appreciate the Word of God. Prayerfully appreciate the Word of God. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. All right, here's what he means. The word there, receive, means to make welcome. It means to make welcome. I've got a couple of preachers coming, one in August, one in September. It's going to be a great day, and they're fired up. Because you know why they're fired up? Because I've been telling them. I said, son, I tell you what. They'll call you out if you don't preach the Word of God. These people love the Word of God. You welcome the Word of God. That's what he's saying. When you study individually, you ought to welcome. You make it at home in your heart. Here's what he says. Do you know that when you first read the Bible, you don't understand it with your head first, you understand it with your heart? Listen to this. On the road to Emmaus, when Jesus encountered the people there, here's what he said. He said, the two disciples, when they were walking, he said, Luke 24:32, they said this, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So how do we do that? Pastor, how do we prayerfully appreciate the word of God? Are you really, this is so good. Listen, with a holy heart. You say, what do you mean? Verse 21, it says, lay aside all filthiness. Before you read your Bible, if the Bible's going to matter today, it better matter to us. Listen, I'm telling you, the answer to if the Bible matters today is does the Bible matter to the church? That's the answer. You answer the question with a question. You tell me if the Bible matters today, I'll tell you how the church is taking it. And so when we read the Bible, we've got to make sure that we must have a spiritual house cleaning when we read the Word of God. Remember, if it's a mirror, it will show us if we have any dirt on us. Someone said, when you look into the mirror and you see dirt on your face, don't clean the mirror. I don't like that, preacher. I'm going to go to another church. So what happens? You change churches, you go to another Bible-believing church, and if the preacher's preaching the Word of God, it's going to convict you. And you know, so you can keep getting mad and go everywhere. But as long as men of God will preach the Word of God, the Spirit of God will convict the man of God and bring him to the glory of God. Don't ask me to repeat that. Listen, here we go. Hey, this is good. Filthiness, you know what filthiness means? Hey, I wouldn't preach this on Mother's Day. Just preach this on Father's Day, okay? You know what filthiness means? Earwax. That's what it literally means wax in the ear. Wax in the ear. That is, if you remove anything in your heart that would keep you from hearing the Word of God, you must remove anything in your heart. I have issues with swimmer's ear. Many of you have that. If I go swimming at least twice a year, I'm gonna get so stopped up, and I'll have to go to the doctor, and they'll have to do this thing where they just get there and pound. You know what's unreal? There's a lot of you in this room right now. You're trying to hear the Word of God, and you're trying to read the Word of God, but you can't get anything out of it because you've got spiritual wax in your ears and on your heart. So here's my question to you. Is there anything in your heart right now that would keep you from hearing and heeding the Word of God right now? In a moment, we're going to give an invitation. You know why we're giving an invitation? We're giving an invitation for you to get right, to get your heart right with God, so that you might hear His Word. James calls it the implanted Word. The word implanted there signifies the process of planting a seed in soil. So first of all, you got to remove all the weeds. You don't just go out there and a bunch of weeds and plant a seed. You remove the weeds and then you plant the seed. That's what he's telling you to do. So you, listen to this. You appreciate it with a holy heart. You appreciate it with a hungry heart. With a hungry heart. He says in verse 21, again, he says, lay aside all filthiness, anything that is hindering you, earwax, any wax, and then an overflow of wickedness. Now, this is so good, overflow of wickedness. The word there is used and when Jesus fed the 5,000. Don't miss this. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and he had 12 baskets left over for the disciples. Now, watch this. Same word for overflow is the word that Jesus used for leftover. And here's what James is talking about, Pastor Travis. This is good. James is saying, get rid of all of the leftover sins. Hey, there are some of you in this building right now. Some of you in this building right now, you've got leftover sins from a previous marriage, leftover sins from a previous relationship, leftover sins from a previous church you attended, leftover sins from some, I'm telling you, you've got a bunch of leftover sins that you have not taken to the Father to forgive you. And you can't understand and properly understand the Word of God until you take it to Him. You cannot feed on the meat of God's Word if your stomach is filled with the leftovers of this world. We've got to get rid of them. You must get rid of all your pet sins before the Bible will ever come alive to you. Oh, don't miss that. You must get rid of the leftovers of this world and your sin before the Bible will ever, ever make sense to you. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Can I add something to that and you don't think me a heretic? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Hey, listen to me, and you won't hear the Lord. Not only will he not hear you, you won't hear him. The seed of God's word cannot take root where the weed of sin has grown. The seed of God's word cannot take root where the seed of sin has grown. Number three, a humble heart. A humble heart. Holy heart, hungry heart, holy heart. He says, receive it with meekness. It means teachability, trainability. You know why a lot of Christians get in trouble today? Because when they face difficult situations, you know what we do? When we face difficult situations, let me Google that. Let me make an appointment with Pastor. Let me see if Lifeway has a self-help book on this. Let me see. Hey, listen to me, dear friends. Get to the Word of God. Get to the Word of God. Have a heart so holy that you're hearing Him and so hungry that you can't wait to get, and then so humble that you say, no matter how many times I've read it, I'm still learning from the Word of God. Lastly, I can't believe I'm going to finish this. Properly approach it, prayerfully appreciate it, and then practically apply it. Practically apply it. Hey. Every day. Shoe leather. Live it. Here's what he says, verse 19. You got to be a ready listener. Now, men, here we go. Because right, some of you women are sitting there, some of you wives are going, man, I thought you were going to beat up on my husband today. It's Father's Day, man. Come on. All right, here we go. You got to be a ready listener. Now, I almost didn't put this in my sermon. Hey, listen, he says, therefore, be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. Solomon said this in Proverbs 18, 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and shame to him. The number one problem in a home today is a problem of communication. Communication. That's the number one problem in marital situations. A lack of communication. We are quick to speak, but we are slow to hear. Would you agree with that, men? We are quick to speak, but we are slow to hear. I'll tell you this much, I would add a generation gap. You know one of the problems with parents and kids? Lack of communication. Hey, parents, we got to start learning how to listen to our kids. Last night, we had a breakdown with Deuce, man. My little Deuce, man, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And he cried his little eyes out. And we prayed with him and talked with him. But you know what he wanted? He just wanted us to listen to him. He just wanted us to listen to him. One teenager was asked what he saw in his daddy, and here's what he said, Dad. He said, I see in my daddy a big mouth. They said, what would you like to hear? He said, big ears. I'd love to see big ears where he listens to me. So be a ready listener. Number two, be a reserved speaker. Be slow to speak. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:9. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Proverbs 17:18. Then number three. So listen. He gave us two ears, one mouth. Lastly, ready listener, reserved speaker, and a restrained temper. Verse 19, be slow to anger. He didn't tell you not to ever get angry. Listen to me. The evil that is running rampant in this world, it makes me angry. Listen, can I tell you what to help you? He said, be slow to anger, hey, and be quick to get over it. Did y'all hear what I just said? That's a good word. Be slow to anger, but when you do get angry, be quick to get over it. Jesus looked at them with anger in Mark 3:5, the Pharisees. Paul said, be angry and sin not in Ephesians 2:26. I want you to listen to this quote. There's a way of reading the Bible that seems to leave God far away. Off in the shadows somewhere, it is all information and technicalities and knowledge, but it feels like you're sitting with your back towards God. You come up against a difficulty or a question, and you go to books, you ask pastors, friends, strangers on the internet, anyone but Him. Gradually, God gets smaller and dimmer. Here's my question to you. Does the Bible matter to you today? Everybody look right up here. Look. Does the Bible matter to you today? It's not going to matter to the world if it doesn't matter to the church. We must understand the times in which we live, and this world is sick and tired of hearing us. They need to watch us live the Bible. Amen? And you're not going to do that if all you ever do is come on Sunday and hear me preach. You've got to daily get into that thing, and we want to help you be able to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I do pray with everything in me that this incredible church would understand that I am in no way fussing at our my brothers and sisters, God, but I want us to understand that the world is saying if the Bible matters today, shouldn't the church look different? But yet, God, the church looks a lot like the unredeemed world in so many areas. And so, God, help us as the church to raise our standards to the Word, not lower the Word to our standards. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you something, Daddy. Hey, Dads, I want you to listen to me. Fathers, I want you to listen. Are you confident that your kids would go to heaven if they followed your example? Moms, are you comfortable that your kids would go to heaven if they followed your example? Are you showing them how to read God's Word? Are you teaching them how to read God's Word? This is a better question. If I were to ask your kids, does the Bible matter to your parents today, what would they say? Have they ever even watched you read it? Have they seen you read God's Word? Have you read it to them? I'm telling you, it's easy to point a finger at people who are doing wrong, but we've got some pointing back at us at the same time. We better get it right with the Word of God. And say, let me tell you this. The Bible says in here that whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross, dear friends. He died on Calvary's cross for you. He died in your place. He took upon your sins. He took him to the grave with him, and 3 days later, God accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead. He's now alive to save you if you'll call upon his name. That is the word of God. That is the gospel. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to be saved in here today, if you would love to follow Jesus for the first time in your life today, would you pray something like this to yourself? Just pray it to yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost, but I want to be saved. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life and save my soul. And when I die, Jesus, bring me home to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, dear friend, senior adult, guest, member, it doesn't matter. If you prayed with me just then, congratulations, Jesus stepped out of heaven and stepped into your life. But then there are many of you who need to come to this altar. You need to just make that pew an altar. You need to get right with God and ask forgiveness for your lack of urgency of reading His Word and even desirability. You don't even desire to read it. So get right with God. If you want to join this church, we ask you to come. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Look right up here at me before we stand. We're going to sing one of my favorite invitational songs. Here's what I want you to do. The moment we stand to our feet, if you prayed and gave your life to Jesus, in whatever, before today, or it doesn't matter. If you prayed, there's two men in the stairwell. We're going to be down front. You come and take us by the hand and say, I prayed and gave my life to Jesus. If you want to come for baptism because you saw and you know that your baptism is on the wrong side, you come. If you want to join this church, we want you to come. Or if you just need to come and get right with God, as we stand, you come right now.